Guess what happens in 3, 2, 1. Cometh the hour, cometh the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. Hello again, everybody. I'll be John Kenobi in with ship's captain George Norrie again with you tonight for a little Friday night action. You know, traditionally, Friday nights are an open line kind of thing, but we thought we would just take it just a step further, a little step further, and do a little thing I would like to call Naked Lines. Yes, because there are no screens. Get it? No screens. Therefore, it's Naked Lines. It's amazing how things get a bit twisted. Several websites have suggested tonight's program will be with naked callers. So, since it's already gone viral, then I have contoured, with the help of Senora Galanti, contoured the tunes for tonight's program, allowing for those who wish to participate in tonight's broadcast, all not around, there'll be no problem for them. Okay? I mean, I say absolutely no, positively no screens. We have to, you know, make sure that there's a pulse there, and you know, you can touch the tip of your finger, the tip of your nose. We can see you. And certainly command can. I got the screens up here. See, I'm screened, but the calls will be unscreened. Here's the news. I'll be brief. Not much of it good, but it is interesting. Poll. Yes. A Harris poll. A logical conclusion of this new Harris poll is that 1/3 of Americans actually want to be slaves. Nearly 1/3 of Americans would accept TSA body cavity search in order to fly. I mentioned that last night, but 35% of Americans would wear electric shock bracelets in order to fly. Now, you know, seriously, I don't know who you're running with, but I don't know anybody that needs an electric shock bracelet to enable them to actually behave while they're on a flight. In fact, I haven't been on very many flights and not seen some people sitting there going, if anybody does anything, I'm going to get up and smack them, which is, of course, what you probably should do. This is interesting, don't you think? Remember I mentioned that? Now, I know we don't want to be partisan because there are so many radio stations out there talking about politics. I don't like politics either, but I can't help it when I just see, you know, stupid stuff that just keeps happening. First, there was the stupid and then tragic incident with Benghazi. You might recall I mentioned, this doesn't look good to me. Does this look good to you? And the thing had just pretty much happened, and it's like, oh, this video made everybody nuts. Yeah. Well, now General Petraeus, the general in charge of prosecuting the war in Afghanistan, and is now our CIA director, is going to resign, or has resigned, over an affair just before he's supposed to go and testify about the Benghazi incident. So Rahm's gone. I suspect Secretary of State Clinton will be gone. Holder, Attorney General Eric Holder, he's mulling over the possibility that he may bail. And now the CIA director. And I just have to tell you, none of this looks very good to me either. It really doesn't. Okay? Interesting, more than 85% of American Muslims picked our current president. And you know the thing about it is, I feel a little empathy, a little sympathy for the commander-in-chief, and I'll tell you why. I think he's going to be, I think it's going to be a tough 4 years. His hair has already gone slightly gray, and I'm thinking that it may look more like Einstein's by the time this 4 years has gone by that's ahead of us. It's that's a tough job, but it's tougher when you have all this stuff swirling around you. So we'll just see how it shakes out. It's interesting, the sociological makeup of the country, the millions of people who did not vote, the millions of people who, or hundreds of thousands, a couple hundred thousand people who would have, but their ballots didn't arrive on time, and it's just, you know, it's a done deal now, so there's no point in beating that horse. It's already glue. I get it, but still, I think we should remember. And as the weeks unfold and the programs that we bring to you, hopefully are loaded up with good meaty stuff for you to sink your canines and incisors into, what's actually going on behind what is presented to you in the mainstream media, I believe will come clear, and maybe that'll be part of the big awakening, because Well, it's like that. It's like the time I got a "well done, sir" from the tower. That was about a 50-mile-an-hour, 60-degree crosswind off of the nose. And when I heard that, I said to my flying partner there, I suspect we were in much deeper trouble than we thought. And I think we may be. So, you know, be happy. Go along with your life. Don't be paranoid. Don't be jacked up. But be alert, okay? All right. I'll run down the stuff on the Coast website here in a little bit. But in any case, we will rock the mothership a little bit tonight. I don't want to put any dents in it because ship's Captain George Norrie doesn't like it when I dent the mothership. So we'll keep it steady. And take a moment now while we go to our first little break. We'll be giving the phone numbers out all night and just whatever's on your mind. You want to talk about the new Bond film. It's a Bond film, all right. It is. I saw it. And it is it's a first class Bond movie. You want to talk about that? You talk about whatever you want to. I don't care. I say that now, but I don't think that I will care what you talk about tonight, just as long as we talk about something. If you don't want to talk, I'll read the bloody phone book, and your number may be one of the ones that comes up. And if it is, I'll probably put your address in there as well. So that's not a threat. It's just a possibility. Okay. Go make yourself a proper cup of tea. Pour yourself a glass of suds. Get a glass of water, a mineral water, an iced tea, whatever you like. Sit back, relax, get close to a phone, and get ready to participate in tonight's Naked Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, woohoo and yeehaw! Let's get right into it. Let us go to the first caller of tonight's program. Will be John in Mansfield, Ohio. He is way east of the Rockies, and come aboard the mothership and tell us what's on your mind tonight, hey, John. Welcome to Naked Lines, brother.
Hey, well, thanks, man. John B. Wells, I love your voice. You and George Norrie and George Knapp are like the triumvirate of truth. And I love you for that, but I got to tell you something.
Triumvirate of truth, I like that.
John, I think that we are under total, we are being totally electromagnetically attacked in this country with this RF frequency, low frequency broadcasting they're talking about. They're using mind control on everybody. I mean, I'm seeing it here. You just literally can see it in people's eyes, especially the young. They literally look dead when you look at them when you walk down the street. And I said, no wonder Barack Obama got elected and reelected. I saw it back then. I said, the Rothschilds are pouring trillions upon trillions into this country to make sure this guy doesn't go anywhere. I mean, they had our political offices in Ohio open for like 6 years agitating for Obama. And I said, this is mind control. All the symbolism, you see the symbols he puts on everything. It is all there to condition mind control.
Well, you know, the thing about it is I really feel for the guy, John. I really do. Now, this is the part where I say something good about him. Although, you know, I've kicked George W. Bush around a little bit, that whole Patriot Act, that prolonged experience in the Middle East and so forth. But it's beginning to look like our president is going to begin his new term pretty much alone. I mean, who is going to replace these people? I mentioned Holder's probably gone. Petraeus is gone. I mean, does it seem to you like a CIA director could get the divorce lawyers or the threats of divorce lawyers to, like, hey, shut up, I'm the director of the CIA.
Yeah,
I don't want any of this to get out. Do you find the timing a little suspicious?
I find the timing extremely suspicious. Like I said, I think this is bigger than Obama. I think this is literally whatever you call the Illuminati, reptilians. I don't know who it is, but they have literally created an image of a man who's basically... We don't know who that real man is behind that shell. We think we do, but they have created this image of a man. And they're putting out all this mind control through all the programs. I mean, look, you got Keeping Up with the Kardashians and all this garbage on television, and you wonder why kids are, like, coming out of high school, they can't read at a fourth grade level. I mean...
Well, how about when you see a FEMA... How about when you see the sign on the FEMA office up there where the hurricane just hit, up around, you know, New York? And it says closed due to bad weather.
Well, I'll what? Tell you something about that, John. I have a relative who, I won't say the name, works for FEMA. I don't talk to them very much, but I know they went around places, and that's a little strange there. So, I do hear a little bit about that stuff from time to time. But, yeah, I think we are under total attack in this country. And right as I was talking to you, I was looking out our back porch here in Ohio where I live, and... you know, you've talked about what you saw in the sky here a while back. Last March, I kept seeing pinwheel lights, like One was orange, one was blue, one was red one night. They were all changing different colors. And then there were these two big flashing lights that would move up and down over by the trees. And then the other night there was one out in front in the eastern sky. I was looking in the western sky out here. And I'm telling you, something is definitely going on. I don't know if it's fallen angels, whether it's aliens or whatever the heck it is. It's just not right.
Yeah, it's not normal. You know, more to your point about what you're saying about being bombarded with electromagnetic radiation, we did a story probably 3 or 4 months ago now about terahertz. Terahertz come through your cell phone earpiece, you know, through the speaker. And they'll just darn near rewrite your DNA. They'll unwind your little helix and put something weird in it and then twist it back up. That's the way this article described it.
I definitely agree with that, John. I mean, we are literally being destroyed. I mean, I'm a big-time info warrior. I go on Alex's site. I've called Alex a few times. And I definitely agree. They are poisoning us through the food. They are mind-controlling us. I mean, there is no way, like 40 years ago, that you could have got people to buy into half the garbage they're buying into now. But now people just look at you. You can walk into Walmart or anywhere. It's like, hi, how are you doing today? It's just you can see this. Kind of just a lull. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, you know, you go back to the 1960s and there was this explosion of creativity.
Yep.
And then you look since the 60s, has there been really any creativity in our society? We've been living.
Not really, man. It's all been technological. It's been more like an implosion of creativity, if you ask me.
Yeah, we have lived off the achievements of 50 or 60 years ago. I mean, you look at a 57 Chevy. Or like a 65 Chevelle. I mean, that was like the tip top of perfection of design. And then look at what we've got to now, John. We've been living literally. It's like we've been going downhill every year since then. I live in the hometown where Westinghouse washing machines and appliances were built. George Westinghouse tap and stoves. All that is gone. That stuff was perfectly designed to run 40, 50, 60 years, and we got nothing now. Hello?
Well. You may be right about that, but you know what? All we can do at this point is just stay vigilant, stay focused, and as long as we can still add 2 plus 2, we'll figure that the terahertz transmission, the low frequency ground wave transmissions, the fluoride, the chlorine, the GMOs, the high fructose corn syrup, and of course that partially hydrogenated vegetable oil has not had the desired effect. I appreciate your call very much, John. You're a true brother. Take care up there in Mansfield, Ohio. How about Mark in Knoxville, Tennessee? First-time caller. Come on, Mark. Let's talk. Where is Mark? Mark is not there. Quitter. Wild 5, Willie. Don't know where he is. He's in an undisclosable location. What's going on, Willie? It's not Willie. Well, put somebody on there. It's the pesky NSA and the CIA. They're messing with the computers again. Just put somebody on there. They can tell us where they're from.
I'm here. It's Steve in Columbus.
There you are, Steve. Well, it's nice to meet you, brother. What you
great
got?
Great to be on a mothership on the Naked Lions with you, John.
I'm telling you, man. Naked Lions. Everybody should do it.
All right. It's a trip, man. We should do this more often. But I want to tell you about it. I got into an argument once with the landlord of mine, and I didn't have my phone on him, so I go outside to a phone booth, and I saw a truck idling by the phone booth. I walk into this phone booth to make a phone call because I needed a ride.
Yeah.
And I go over, and I see that there's a piece of tape over where I put my change into the phone booth and says out of order. So I had that argument. I'm already so mad. And I go over, and I just wanted to pound my fist directly into the phone. But before I do, for some weird reason, I turned around, and I looked into the side view mirror of the car that was idling by, and I saw just this demonic, evil, gremlin face. It wasn't something that was in that was in the car, like you have those mud flaps or anything like that. It wasn't anything like that. It wasn't like a decoration in the car or on the car. It was clearly something that was staring at me. And when I saw it, I don't know if you've seen stuff like this before, but I just felt like it was almost like some sort of manifestation telling me, don't let your emotions control you like that. I don't know what it was or what it could have been, but to me it was such a shocking thing because, I mean, I don't know if it was whatever it was, but to me it just stuck in my mind. It's just been so just emblazoned in my mind from that point forward.
Hey, Steve, did you ever see that, you know, I'm a movie aficionado. I was a, and still am, a voracious reader. But, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. You eventually have to get back to, the, you know, what you got to do that day. You can't just sit there reading all day long. But do you remember this picture with Pacino, you know, called The Devil's Advocate? Did you ever see that?
I've heard about it, though.
Well, who's that little gal? She's a beautiful girl from South Africa. Charlize Theron. She's gonna be the victim in this thing, and Al Pacino, he's got her, you know, he's got her picked out. He's got the crosshairs on her.
Well,
and, she goes shopping with some of her girlfriends, and she sees these little snarls come across their faces. It just goes, God, what did I just see? You know, one minute the face looks normal, the next minute there's a snarl. I have seen stuff that comes close to that, not like it was depicted with the special effects in the picture, but you can almost see a little. Little evil face looking out of what at one time was a human face. So, yeah, I've seen that, but I don't think I've seen what you've seen.
Well, the caller before you brought up an interesting point, and I believe that, you know, there are some times, you know, when people just get kind of brain dead with all the media that we're consuming, and you got to stop and think for a second because, you know, I've been in places before where I just felt like there was, and I didn't see anything at that point. In these other situations, but I would feel like an evil presence there. Like I just got to get out. You shouldn't. Something inside me says my spirit inside of me said just leave, just get out of there, just go. I don't know why, but you just got to go.
Well, there are things you can do and things you can say, and I know what works for me, and you can probably guess what it is. But nothing weird or evil or anything like that. If it's truly evil, look, ladies and gentlemen. You remember when? Remember in Ghostbusters when Bill Murray said to Sigourney Weaver, "I don't think you're crazy." Well, I don't think you're crazy when you come up with these stories. Not any crazier than I am, certainly. I think Seal was right with his little song about, I think we all have to be a little bit crazy, or we're not gonna make it, because then everything will freak us out if we can't accept a little bit of craziness.
Well, is it the people who think outside of the box, like you and like me, the ones who, you know, are we the ones who are crazy, or are we the ones that are actually normal, and the ones who are crazy are the ones who are brain dead and don't think outside the box like we do?
Unknown. You know, man, a lot of people, let me give you an analogy as quickly as possible. You go out into traffic, go on the highway, and you go, what is wrong with that guy? Oh, and look at that idiot over there. I mean, we all do it. Not all of us, but most of us will just go, my gosh, those are really poor driving skills, and a lot worse than that. But when you overhear a conversation of people in the booth next to you, and one of them says, oh, that drive to work this morning, it's like, oh, yeah, it's really rough on 405 or whatever. It's like everybody knows that, but I just picked that number. Everybody that drives the 405 knows that it has huge, I mean, it'll just peg the vacuum meter. It's so bad, but some of these people are scared to death to drive cars. They drive them because they have to. They have to have one to get around. They can't take public transportation or any of that. They just can't. So they drive a car, and they're scared to death. And I think a lot of people are scared to death of just being alive. I think just the anything they can do to just sort of numb the hard reality of the reality that they're in, wondering where we got here, where we came from, why we're here, it's a mystery to us all, that thing. I think it just plain scares some people, so I think that people who are not scared look for answers, and they will find one that will satisfy them. Maybe it'll be true, maybe it won't be, maybe it'll be something, an attitude they can manifest that will help them to, you know, get through their lives. Maybe it's just a piece of the truth, but as long as you're looking, you know, you're good. Appreciate your call, my brother, very much. Anything else on your mind? We got about maybe a minute.
Well, it's just other things like before. Like one time, I was we didn't have the piece, the normal piece for the Ouija board, and I used a glass that was upside down, and I would move the Ouija board around with that glass upside down. I could see inside the glass, obviously, and when I would move it around, smoke would actually rise behind that glass.
And then you're killing me. Well, I got two straight answers. I got two straight answers out of a Ouija board one time, and I quit using it. It just, it's like, okay, this works. Put it away. All right, take care of yourself, Steve. Look out for Columbus while I'm, look out for my town while I'm gone. We'll continue with the Friday night Naked Lions on Coast to Coast AM. We'll give out the numbers again in just a minute, and we'll speak with Sharon, hopefully, if she'll just hold her position there on Wild Lion 2. All right, without further ado, let's bring onto the bridge Sharon in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. A couple of suggestions for your bumper music.
Okay, hit me.
The Blue Train, Robbie Robertson, and Salisbury Hill, Peter Gabriel.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Okay, I hope you can hear me over the dog barking. The cat's in her doghouse, and she doesn't like it. Anyway.
I wouldn't like it either.
Yeah, well, the dog is a lot bigger than the cat. She's just, you know, she's just a chicken. Mm-hmm. Anyway, last night you had a Mr. Hewlett on the program, and he was talking about that lawsuit. Isn't it funny? Isn't it kind of strange how today General Petraeus is all of a sudden leaving the White House? And Eric Holder, they say, is thinking about it. You know that Hillary's going to be gone. Eric Holder is named in that lawsuit. It's $43 trillion, which sure would go a long ways to setting our budget upright. And I have always been the person who said, if you follow the money, you will eventually get all the answers that you need.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, somebody, go ahead.
This is liable to blow up on Obama before his 4 years are up.
Yeah, before anybody starts saying, you know, you're such a right-wing whatever, you know, it's like, no. Fact of the matter is, I don't care about the government. I care about the country. I care about the country. I couldn't care less about the government.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. As a matter of fact, a fellow just, I just saw his, yeah, there he is right there. This is Glenn, sent an interesting email. He said, you make it sound like General Petraeus is leaving because he and Hillary and the rest of them know something about Obama and Benghazi. Don't you think this all points to more like it was a CIA October surprise to sway votes away from Barack? It's like, well, no, at first I thought it might have been, I don't know. I thought it might be everything from who's supplying the rebels with their arms to let's get rid of Ambassador Stevens to let's pull something weird and make Obama look not so good to let's turn over some more territory to the Muslim Brotherhood. So, and I mean, we'll see, maybe. That's what I put in my email back to Glenn was, who knows what we're going to see by the time we see it. Typically, the game's been afoot for a while, and even what we're seeing is now changing. So we only get a glimpse of it as the beast walks down the road, so to speak. You know?
But I just think that, you know, and maybe it won't come out during Obama's administration, but I should say the president. I do respect the presidency. But somewhere, someone will write a book about it, or someone will let it slip in conversation. And if you stop and think about it, everybody keeps saying that the media, they don't report on the president. They don't report on this, and they don't report on that. Well, after you hear about that producer's children and how that, you know, this just all, I don't believe in coincidence. I just don't.
Neither does Craig Hewlett.
And I think Mr. Hewlett is right. I think that the media in this country, I think that probably they have been maybe threatened. And they're not going to report on anything. Nothing. They're not even reporting really on the people in Long Island that are sitting out there with no power, no food,
Yeah, I talked to a friend of mine up in New York City. Says, well, this would be day 11. I spoke with him yesterday just to check on him. Said, this is day 11. We've got a little generator, so we're okay. We've got some heat.
Well, thank God.
You know, a little reserve of water in the bathtub and so forth. But I mean, it's primitive.
Yes, it is. And yes, I've got one more comment, and then I'll let you go.
Okay, bring it.
Okay, you have got to be anywhere from 85 to 90% sane in this world, but you better keep that other 10% of insanity close by, because sometimes it makes you real clear-eyed.
Yeah, it used to be if you were an artist, you would hold on to your angst because you needed it to create. Now you need to hold on to a little bit of nutdom just so you can keep from going into full nutdom. Listen, thank you so much, Sharon. You're a great gal. Take care of Missouri for me.
Do that.
All right. Who we got? Who we got? We on Wild 3. We have Glenn. Let us speak with Glenn on Wild 3.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing all right. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Out of port here in Michigan. Here. I just calling up. I remember when you first come on the air. You were talking. Did you used to play in a rock band?
Oh yeah. We were trying from. I don't know. First time the Beatles came on the scene.
Anything that we might have heard of, a band or a song?
Not a thing.
No. Okay. Wanted to talk about, what was it, Rob Potter on yesterday?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He got into some pretty deep subjects.
Didn't he?
Not sure if I'm trying to segue into it here. Hey, do I have to sit here naked or can I put my robe back on?
I'll put your robe on, man. It's okay. I don't want you catching cold.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
It's naked lines, not naked collars, you know.
Right. Golly, I just enjoyed the show. It tickled to death to be here. You touched on quite a few things. Just a few pointers that I'd like to point out sometimes is that, like when you talk ancient stuff, now everybody's like, well, Goliath, he existed after the flood, right? And I'm like, okay, you know. But then I got reading, you know, and in the Bible there it states like when Noah, you know, he's caught naked. So who was it, Shem and Ham? I get those two names messed up. But one is to be his descendants are to be the slaves to the other brother's descendants in that. But the third brother, and coincidentally enough, it almost sounds like Jupiter. It's a Jupiter or something, but it says, may the Lord God enlarge you and your descendants. And he goes on to talk about Gog and Magog and all the giants that will be running the earth. And this would be after the flood, right? I don't want to, I tried to have some notes here together. I was going to bring up binary systems also. What I found out is that since the Kepler has been up there, the Hubble, they were observing other star systems. Now they can look through time, like with different focuses, because time travels. And what they've noticed about binary systems is it's never just one dwarf star that goes by. It's like 3, 5, 9, and on the same subject, watching Thor, they were talking about 9 realms. I just wondering, you know, just throwing it out there, is that, you know, we're kind of like in this galaxy here, we're like on a billiard table, you know, stuff flies around all the time. It's almost like, well, what if so many thousand years, you know, one dwarf star comes by, maybe the Anunnaki visits, you know, another 1,000 years, maybe it's Odin and his guys, and another, you know, 1,000 years, maybe Zeus. what I was trying to get on is this 2012, not sure how knowledgeable you are about it, but I have heard once, and nobody says, you know, that Jesus Christ, nobody knows the day when he's coming back. But I've heard this quasi-codal figure that was sort of a Jesus-like figure there. The Aztecs, not the Mayans, they were predicting that he was coming back 2012, as the planets are supposed to align. There's supposed to be a gravitational, he's supposed to ride the light. I'm not saying this is happening. It's a theory that I've heard out there. And I've, you know, as much as George Norrie, as much as he hears, it's almost like he could almost pull it all together and know what's going on.
Isn't that the truth?
Oh, golly, I sit here, you know, night after night. I'm an avid listener all the time. It's, you know, just certain things that I try to throw out every time I call, but then I forget. You know, it's almost like Enoch, almost like Anunnaki. You know, it's funny that the descendants of Seth and Cain have the same names. You look and there's a Lamech there, there's a Lamech over here, there's an Enoch over here, there's an Enoch over here. And the one thing that is really funny is that in the Bible, you know, women have got their rights within, what, the last 100 years. But here's Cain's descendants that aren't going to supposedly be on the ark. Lamech marries two wives. They actually mention both of the wives' names, and then the kids from those wives are the ones that become the metal workers, develop the music, and, you know, just a lot of discrepancy. What I had told Will was actually what I was going to talk about is, you know, after all this religious mumbo-jumbo, and I'm not sure really what's going on in the afterlife, who do I sue over this?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be tough, brother. It really is.
I'm you know, never talking to sue. But I enjoyed Ronnie James Dio, man, out of the probably the 5-6 years that I've really been listening. That's the first time I've heard him on your bumper music. And he's really deep when he gets into a lot of his lyrics, Children of the Sea. Actually, if you listen to that, it's almost like the Nephilim that are getting washed out, you know, after the during the flood there. And but you know, shame he passed away. I was really looking forward to George you know, kind of saluting him, but that didn't happen.
But so are you telling Dio's gone?
Yes, he died about 2 years ago in May.
I just wanted to play his song. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, I know. He was one of my faves, man. I liked him in Elf, Black Sabbath, when they, you know, the two, when they got rid of Ozzy, it was like, you know, okay, they split up. Oh, no, you know, what's going down? But it was like two good bands formed out of it, you know. I mean, Randy Rhoads, it was a phenomenal guitarist that will be missed, you know, for, golly, for years to come, even more now.
But, yeah, man, he passed away on May 16, 2012. He was an American rock and heavy metal vocalist and songwriter, performed with, among others, Elf, Rainbow, Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell, and his own band, Dio. That's too bad. You know, I didn't know that until your call.
Yeah, I got to see him, the Heaven and Hell, back in 1981, was it, golly? And then I got to see him together. You know, I'm an old guy now, did Tile for 20-plus years, but I was still out there rocking. Now my knees are gone, but I was on the floor just when they toured about 2-3 years ago, went and seen him again. They were like 60-something, man, and they were just rocking it out.
You know, the Stones are crossing into 70s land, and they're still out there doing it, too. Listen, it's been fun talking with you, Glenn. Take care of yourself, will you? All right, and quick as a wink, Glenn is gone back into his realm. Alex, Newport, Oregon. Alex, we call you.
What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Well, Glenn, man, he's a rocker, man. You guys were bringing me back to my days. I was in Germany in 87 and saw Dio there with the Scorpion. That was a good show.
Well, I don't want to hear Freebird anymore, dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like to play stuff that's a little bit different. I've heard Freebird.
Hey, you know, as far as that goes, you're doing great on the bumper music, man. I'm going to tell you.
Okay, cool. Well, that's the idea. What's on your mind tonight?
Well,
I mean, I'll sit here and soak up compliments on the music all night, but I mean, what's the biggest blip on the scope right now for you?
Well, I'm actually just, biggest blip is me. For me is I'm drawing my house right now. I'm drawing a round house. And, but no, the reason why I called you is I've been having these visions.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I get, maybe it's kind of like a remote view. It's weird.
Like while you're awake?
In front of me, but I don't feel it. And what it is it's, man, I'll tell you, it's going to be an earthquake here. It's going to be an earthquake here. It's going to happen at night. It's going to be about an 8.4, 8.5. It's going to send a tidal surge about 10, maybe 15 feet.
And where are you located right now?
I live right on the beach.
Where? I mean, what city?
I live in a little town in Central Oregon called Newport.
Well, gotcha. Okay, I said that. I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing. I should have been a doctor for a couple of reasons. But anyway, yeah. So and now, when you have these visions, is this like a waking vision? Is it like a little daydream you go into, or all of a sudden are you in a different reality for a few seconds and then you snap back to normal? I mean, how does this happen?
It's instantaneous. I'll be doing something normal day, doing my work, whatever, And then it just, I'll turn, and all of a sudden, I see it for a vision for about a split second. I'll see it all. I'll feel it all, but it's not actually happening. So I've been kind of writing it off as a vision. I didn't talk. I just told my girlfriend about it about a week ago. That it happens like 3 or 4 times a day, and I know that it happens at night, and I know it's a big one.
Well,
I don't know how I know. I just know.
Well, and one more, what's the timeline on this? Do you get any clue to this?
30 days, less than 30 days. It's going to happen pretty soon. And I'll tell you why I think it is. I think the plates are moving. I think the solar flares, I think the core is heating up, and I'm telling you, I think the plates are moving.
All right. We'll keep, don't keep an eye out, but keep an eye peeled. And if you start picking something up, let somebody know, because as I think we found out, if you rely on the government to save you, you're probably going to die. Okay, so just look out for yourselves, and thanks for that. Thanks for that little bit of data. All right, Diane in Santa Barbara. That's a beautiful part of the world.
Hi. Right
there on the beautiful blue Pacific. How are you tonight?
It is. It really is. Hey, I wanted to say something very carefully, though. The Loeffner case. You know, when he was doing his talk the other day, before he got put away, he said he brought up the gun control and all that, which is really strange. And all along, you know, you have the that shooting, and then Fort Hood, and then the recent ones. I'm just thinking the whole, like, kind of a common denominator since Obama took office, and then the whole gun control thing. And in July, the UN had a treaty. They were talking about it, and then the whole Colorado thing happened. And so it's just kind of a common denominator. And then the lack of media coverage on the specific, the shooters, such as Loeffner and then the Fort Hood shooter. So, like I said, I'm going to say this carefully. I want to say it carefully, but I didn't want to, get too much into it. Say things without saying it, kind of thing, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well.
You got it.
Yeah, totally. It's isn't it funny how the Aurora deal was the rage for a couple of weeks, and then nothing else. I haven't heard anything about the Aurora shooting. And that deal with Gabby Giffords, that was just, that's just awful.
And then the UN has a treaty, you know, that they want Obama to sign next year. So it's just a lot of gun control things. And so it's almost, you know, you just wonder if, you know, you just have to wonder if there's somebody, you know, behind all these things that are, I don't know. I can't keep talking about it because then I'll say exactly what I'm thinking, but
understood.
Yeah. Well,
look, the whole point is that you are thinking about it. So as carefully as you can, spread the word, because the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Thank you very much for the call. We'll be back with more open lines. They're unscreened and therefore naked lines on Coast to Coast AM.